Join host Laura Brown as she introduces life-changing intuitive tools, live on-the-air intuitive tarot readings, guided energy work to help you align with your highest good, and inspiring conversations. Each show blends Laura's natural psychic gifts with her traditional training as a counselor and coach to provide you with a down-to-earth approach to living your most aligned, most inspired, and most elevated life. So grab your drink of choice, sit back, relax, and join us for another episode of Intuitive Alchemy Radio. Here is your host, Laura Brown.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Intuitive Alchemy Radio, your home for inspiring conversations and the intuitive tools that will transform your life. I'm your host, Laura Brown, and today we have an amazing show with you, or for you. We have with us today Brooke Wolf of EmotionalBodyMapping.com, and I will be talking and introducing a bit more about her in just a few minutes. But we also are rounding out the first month of my time here with the Om Times Media Network, and I'm excited to be in this space and to bring all of the fun and the magic that we are bringing and continue to bring as the days and weeks and months and maybe even years as they go on. It is our very humble journey and purpose to bring these tools. And so I am grateful to be an intermediary for these inspiring conversations and, of course, to have all of you listeners and those who are part of this wonderful community. So thank you. Now, before we get into the interview for today, I want to talk a little bit about what is going on as we round out the end of August and the final month of summer. We have on August 30th, a new moon in Virgo. Now, a new moon is a time for us to begin to kind of clear space. It's a time for us to start again. And with this specific transit, what I was channeling was that that tending our sacred fires that light our way forward on this path, in this experience, is a solitary job. It's not a job that we accomplish when we place our value or our progress or even our purpose upon that which exists outside of ourselves. So this is not about what so-and-so thinks of what we're doing. It's not about what another person is doing, what their journey looks like. This is an opportunity, this transit, for us to understand, to get on board with, and to even invite the solitary job or venture that this experience is. And it is a solitary venture and one that is enriched through the trust we place in ourselves. And this is a very, very tricky, tricky space for so many of us. We tend to rely pretty heavily upon what others think. What do you think is the question I encourage you to ask yourself as you go through this new moon in Virgo. What do I think? What matters to me? What hits home in the very depths of my heart, of my soul? That is the route, the answer to those questions. That is the route to anything at all that we are creating with this new moon cycle. It is this opportunity for us to really get on board with the awareness that the more we dial into that true north, and you'll hear me talk about this quite a bit, the more that we dial into our true north, which is what those questions really help you to do, the more that we begin to know what authenticity, what realness, what integrity looks like for us. And that's a space from which we can then open up to the wisdom that other people have to offer us. And we can do so very holistically. We can do so in a way that allows us to maintain our sense of personal integrity. We can maintain our awareness of where we're going and what is relevant for us. And we can interact with the insights that others provide us in a very beautiful way that allows us to consider, does this ring as truth for me? Does this speak to my heart? Does it hit home? Do I get the chills when I listen to them say what they're saying? If not, then maybe it's not something we need to necessarily absorb as truth for us. Doesn't make them wrong. Doesn't make them, you know, like they're trying to give you bad advice. It doesn't make it anything other than their truth. And that truth, their truth, may look different than your truth. And that's okay. That's completely 100% okay. That is not really the idea. It's not about characterization. One is not right. It is simply our being able to interact very holistically with what they may be suggesting or offering us, and to then understand whether or not that's going to be something we utilize and make part of our journey, or if it's just something we kind of set to the side and we thank them and we move on. And that's really where this transit is pushing us, is to understand that the steps that we are taking forward, the steps that we are allowing to pave the road ahead, are going to be those that we determine to be right for us. And again, it's a solitary venture. We are stoking those flames. The validation comes from us. We muddy the waters when we are grasping outside of us to what our family thinks, to what our friends think, to what our partners think. It's more about us really grounding into what I think, what resonates with me. And this new moon cycle is the closing of one chapter and the opening of another 28-day lunar cycle. So there may well be endings that we experience as our systems, as our entire, you know, environment begins to adjust to make space for the new seeds that we are planting with this new moon. And it is very much about this idea of planting seeds. We're in the midst of Virgo season, which if you haven't really heard much about or didn't join us last week, I really encourage you to head over to the show's archive. You can, I believe, also find us over on iTunes. And last week we talked about what Virgo season is all about. We talked about how Virgo really helps us to get very detailed, to get very granular, to create structure and organization so that anything that we are establishing in our life really has roots. And so this transit really begins to kind of blow open those doors. It's taking place, this new moon in Virgo, and it's rubbing elbows, as I like to say, with Mars. So this transit is one which gives us the power as well as the attention to detail to build something so sublimely sustainable, something that really goes the long haul, something, whatever it may be for us, that truly enriches us and takes us forward. So we're going to go on and head into the break and leave you with that. I will talk with you soon.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Wake up and text. text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Laura Brown. You're listening to Intuitive Alchemy Radio. And I now am joined and have the pleasure of introducing emotional body mapping coach and holistic business guide, Brooke Wolf. Welcome to the show, Brooke.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Super happy to be here. Well, we are super happy to have you here and to get this interview. I'm so glad that we were able to make it work. Logistically, I don't think it would have really worked for us to do this live since I think it's like 2 a.m. when the show actually airs your time. So thank you so much for being willing to work with me and you know, record this in the wee hours of the morning for you so that we could have you on the show.
No worries at all. This is actually 10 a.m. for me, so it's not even wee hours.
Oh, well, you know what? That can still be wee hours depending on the person. My 17-year-old son would disagree that 10 a.m. is not the wee hours of the morning. But to be young. To be young. So I want to jump right in and really enjoy this conversation because I think there's so much to be said on it. I want to know a bit more about what emotional body mapping really is all about. I know a bit, obviously. I'll share that in a moment. But I want our listeners to hear from you just what this process is all about, what it helps with, why we need it.
For sure. So emotional body mapping, obviously, like this is a healing modality that I created. So I find it kind of funny. 50% of the people I generally tell people I do emotional body mapping will still say, oh, I know that. Or I'd be like, oh, really? Because like, I'm not sure you do. But like, it's so I think step one, you know, is like, being comfortable saying like, know something, or questions is great. So I would say that this emotional body mapping is about really connecting to emotional trauma that is held in the body. So there's lots of different areas, both in Western and Eastern medicine principles and practices that bring this up. So I'm not the founder or creator of that, you know, Eastern medicine, like Chinese medicine or Ayurveda are really good kind of like starting points to see how they connect the emotions to physical pains. As well as looking on Western, you have like neurolinguistic programming, you have epigenetics and things like this that are now being discussed. And then obviously like we have our stomach is now called our second brain because of the amount of the nervous system and how it creates like pain and trauma in your body. Mm-hmm. So this is something that now is being more digested, and I'm starting to see that now is coming to the surface where the general public is starting to understand that ancestral trauma and our body trauma can actually manifest without our knowing. So in order for us to really heal our body, and that means the tensions, the pains, like actual physical pain, it does take stepping into where our emotions lie.
I love it. No, I think it's incredibly fascinating, especially for those who maybe are just learning more about this topic. I know that it's one I'm familiar with, but for many of our listeners, for me, what was most transformative about the experience is that when you asked me, you know, sort of like where, you know, what is your tension level? What is your stress level? Where does it hurt? Or where are you feeling, you know, discomfort? And you kind of ran me through. I felt kind of okay. I felt, you know, I had some of the common things that, you know, I you know, experience and that I'm familiar with, but I didn't feel anything really, really pressing. However, after the session, I remember telling you how bizarre it was that I had felt this lifting and this complete, almost just sort of like I had shed 50 pounds that I wasn't even aware I was carrying around. And I think that that has to be somewhat similar for those who maybe aren't, and you tell me, who aren't familiar with just how their trauma has kind of burrowed and made its mark on the body and the energy.
For sure. I would say, like, having a bodywork background, like, that's where I did begin to start understanding and formulating this language. But being a massage therapist or doing Thai bodywork and having my clients come in and say, oh, yeah, my shoulder hurts, and then you touch, like, every part of their body and it all hurts, you know, like, very, very often, like, people just are not connected to just simply their body anymore if we're running around like busy, busy bees.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really giving ourselves even a chance to connect to the body. And the body speaks a language that's probably as honest as a five-year-old child, right? Like, the five-year-old child will tell you when you're singing and it sucks, right? They're like, you sound bad, you know? And I feel like that's kind of how the body talks. So not everybody wants that type of honesty, right? We don't want necessarily that much reality in our life. You know, we like the little, like, fairy sugar coating. So this is why we have distractions. This is why we keep moving through. This is why we have that kind of lifestyle that keeps us in movement, right? Where also movement can help with avoiding body pain to begin with, right? So, you know, like, there's good and, like, pros and cons to keeping yourself busy. But yeah, I would say that the beginning of stepping into just listening to your body is, you know, a practice in and of itself. And it can be as simple as taking a minute in the beginning of the day and the end of the day to ask yourself, do I have any body pains right now?
Well, and that's what
I feel simple.
Yeah, I mean, is it really that simple? I mean, for you and kind of a way you teach and what you do, do you have suggestions as far as how we can connect a bit more and check in with our body?
I mean, I do a simple 1 minute body scan every morning and every evening where I just close my eyes and I go through every part. I'm like, do I feel pain in my shoulders, in my neck, in my head? You know, I'll go through the body and just like, hip, left hip, right hip, stomach, chest, back, you know, like I'll just make a note and I'll go down the body, right? And sometimes just by like picking out body parts, it gets us to be a bit more tuned in, you know, closing our eyes and just picking. Because sometimes it's kind of like when someone asks you, how are you feeling, right? For me, that's like the worst question ever. It's really hard for me to answer that. Unless I'm doing it with like a simple response, like, good, how are you? You know, like without much thought. But how am I feeling like kind of gets me flabbergasted because I have to close my eyes and really tune in. Like, how am I feeling? I don't know. I'm on autopilot for a little while right now. And so for me, that question just leads me to where am I feeling pain in my body? And then I can use that as a compass to really how I'm feeling. Because feelings to me are just so etheric because they're just my feelings and my thoughts sound the same in my head, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're just words. I can't really differentiate my feeling space from my thought space, but I can totally differentiate the physical pain. Like that one is clear. And then I can use that physical pain to understand my feelings. And I can separate my thoughts and my feelings that way.
I like that. That I think that that hones in on an important point, which is that, you know, and you kind of touched on it above in terms of just how we don't really check in with our bodies very often. We kind of keep ourselves in the go, go, go mode because we're not really ready for that much reality to kind of to be put into our sphere. And I think that we do the same where these subtle nuances are concerned, is that for many of us, whether it is hiding from the trauma that precipitated or created the pain, or just not being in tune enough to know the difference between an emotion, a thought, and a physical pain, or the connection inherent in all of them, because they're all entwined, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say that a lot of our physical pain and our physical trauma and the kind of emotional pain is usually not the big ones that you go to therapy for, the big memories. And I think that that's a thing too, is like, there's no shame or judgment around this. Like, we're all humbly healing ourselves and forever working on ourselves. And I feel sometimes when I bring this up, very often people are like, but I'm working on it, you know, but I, and it's like, yeah, like, and guess what? I still have no idea what I'm doing. Like, it's okay. Like, and I think that it's because, you know, it's not those big trauma moments in your life that create the physical pain. It's a series of really micro traumas. It's the ones that you didn't pay attention to at all that build up in your body, that you didn't even know was weird until somebody was like, why do you do it like that? Like, why are you like, you know, why do you feel like you have to help me all the time? And then you're like, well, you know, like, it's those moments that you recognize, like, oh, this has been a thing I've been doing all the time. And it's not necessary, you know? So I think that is usually the stuff that creates the body pains. It's not the like, oh, I had like an abusive family or an abusive, you know, it's like the small stuff that we did out of coping.
Right. No, I think that that's incredible. That's a very good point, because number one, healing is spiralic in my view. And I think that when we embrace it as a process that is constantly sort of evolving and moving, what we understand is that healing incorporates the larger sort of massive trauma, but also the accumulated, the tiny trauma, the things that maybe we feel almost as though we can't call trauma, you know, and I think that that's where we need to kind of step out of this place of characterization to understand that trauma can exist in both rather large and also tiny micro forms as well. It's not just the larger sort of severe and jarring experiences that we, you know, we can try to ignore, but it's much harder. It's the tiny micro traumas that we hardly notice, that we probably don't do much inquiry or healing around, that accumulate and fester within the body, you know, even more significantly than sometimes the larger trauma.
Because what they do is they become lifestyle changes, right? Like, micro traumas become lifestyle changes versus macro traumas become something you can kind of surface and talk about and work through and heal. But micro trauma just become like, oh, every time I tried to ask my dad for stuff, he just rejected me. So I stopped asking, right?
Yeah.
Like, and then you just slowly become a person who doesn't ask.
Yeah.
Right. But that's like, that's a really long process of a lifestyle change. Like, your actual actionable qualities started to shift. And when your actionable qualities started to shift, you started taking on the burdens of the world. You started carrying everybody else's trauma. And you were like, let me do this, let me do that. And then you started feeling it in your shoulders and your neck and your back and your chest. And you started carrying the weight of the world on your shoulder. You know, so this is how it builds. And I feel like, yeah, generally we don't face something like this until our pain becomes something like what we would call in like the Western world, chronic pain, right? Mm-hmm. Right. That's when we finally are like, okay, it's time. But it's generally not even approached or faced until there's some serious physical pain showing up.
And there's no other choice but to face it.
Yeah. And that's totally okay. Again, there's no shame or judgment. Why would it happen any other way? Like, it's not about being conscious or unconscious or woke or asleep. Like, screw all of those things. Like, we're working at the time that we're working in, and we're growing at the time that we're growing in.
Absolutely. And healing in general is such a nebulous concept because, you know, it's different for every person. And I think the stigma and the kind of way in which we can sometimes bully ourselves as we approach our own healing journey. It's really just that, to me, is more problematic than anything else. Like, we don't need to come at this with a prescription. There is no specific roadmap. There's no set benchmarks that we are good or not, or successful or not, or worthy or not.
It's kind of never gonna stop. It's never gonna you're never gonna stop doing the work.
Right. I think it's so funny that you mentioned that, because one of the things that I've had many, many clients as we've gone through this spiral journey of healing ask me, and I'm sure you probably have encountered this too, is always saying, like, when does it stop? Like, when does the work end? And I'm like, when you don't have a pulse, you know?
Yeah. Like, but even then, we don't really know if that's true.
Like, exactly. A whole new set of healing after that, right?
Who knows?
Exactly. But I mean, for me, that is good. Like, as long as I have a pulse, like, I want to, that to me, as long as I'm participating in some way to healing, then that's all that really matters. No sort of casual time frame or judgment.
And I don't think life is meant to be comfortable. And I know that that might be a topic that is controversial, but I do believe that with learning and with growth, it's a little uncomfortable. And that's how you know that you're growing. That's how you know you're facing the hard stuff. That's how you know you're achieving and stepping forward. And it's in that comfort space that you stop and you do become sedentary and stagnant. And I'm not saying life is meant to be extremely uncomfortable, excruciating, right? But like, a little uncomfortable, like comfortably uncomfortable, getting used to the uncomfortable, the vulnerability, that openness, that like, okay, like, here's crying. I guess I'm going to cry today. You know, it's that type of thing. And I believe that if I'm super comfortable, I know I've gotten, like, what I would say, too comfortable, and not really allowing myself to kind of keep peeling away those layers and grow as a human being.
No, I agree. I think that the uncomfortability and the things that you mentioned for me are benchmarks that I'm showing up with my fullest presence. You know, I'm not bypassing any part of this experience because, oh, it may be uncomfortable or it may, you know, create tension. You know, those things kind of tell us that we are living both the length as well as the width of our experience, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I want to switch gears real quick because we're going to be going into a commercial break here soon, but I know that you wanted to walk us through a little bit of an intuition sort of meditation or exercise. But before we do that, I want to move and do that actually after the break. But before we go into the break, tell me a little bit about the role intuition plays in emotional body mapping, or maybe just the importance of intuition as far as you're concerned.
So I would say we live a very cerebral world, like we're very much trained in the world of academia, right? Which is totally awesome. You know, logic has its place. It has its place in law and reason and making all of these kind of things. But very often we try to use logic when really all we want to do is use our intuition in forms of communication, right? So saying yes or saying no to things. We want to go out or we don't want to go out that evening. We don't want to start a debate. We don't want to use logic. We want to use our heart space. We want to use that intuition. But I would say very often we try to lead our life through what is the most logical, not necessarily what we want to do, Right. So, like, I would say when I leave my life by listening to my intuition, it flows a lot more easy and a lot more effortless than when I try to do it because I want to fit into that box that makes most sense. Right.
Right. Makes perfect sense.
So I would say intuition is understanding that your body has physical responses to things around you, and those physical responses are a language for you to like move through. And we've all had that like drop stomach pain in our body when we're like, oh, I'm feeling like some sort of gut response that I shouldn't be doing this or I shouldn't be here, you know, like this kind of thing. And I think the same thing where we have that like flowy thing where we have our first date and we're like, oh my God, this is the guy I'm gonna marry, you know, like the same, like, yeah, like I'm sure we've all had a version of that, like, oof, I shouldn't do this. And we either listen to it or didn't listen to it, or oh, I like should do this. Yes, this is what serves me best. And we did it, we didn't do it, we got to see the response to it, right?
Right.
So
right.
I would say that's intuition. Choosing where you're gonna live, choosing what college you go to, choosing who you marry, choosing like what you do in life. This serves to be used your intuition, not your logic, because it's not always the most logical reason that you do things to make yourself content and happy, right?
I love that. Okay, I'm going to cut you off there. I hate to do it. I could talk for hours.
Do it.
We're going to move into a commercial break. And when we come back, Brooke is going to lead us through an intuition exercise. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Conflict comes in many forms and often triggers a fight-or-flight response. Some of us gravitate toward conflict, while many will stop at little to nothing to avoid it. Unfortunately, what we resist will persist, which often forces us to face our fear and deal with it head-on. Join me during my show, Conflict Rising, as I discuss the important role of conflict with leaders who have moved through it successfully. Tune in Thursdays at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, it's always darkest before the dawn.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert. Filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. I am Laura Brown, host of Intuitive Alchemy, and we are talking today with Brooke Wolf, who is an emotional body mapping coach and holistic business guide. And we talked a little bit before the break about intuition, what it is, kind of the relevance and just how important it is to move out of logic and intuition or into intuition when we're able. But I think you have a meditation or a guided practice that you wanted to lead us on.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite ones, and it's super easy, and you can do it multiple times. I do it probably every month or so, just because my feelings in my body change that much. Because I am ever changing. So it's good to know where we're at. But essentially, this exercise is to understand your yes and your no and your body and what that feels like. Because I truly believe that most of what we do in life is about choice, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say that a maybe is generally a no later. So it can be as simple as understanding that yes and that no in your body. And by understanding that yes or no, you can kind of move through life a bit more effortlessly in the sense of communicating, because you don't have to say, I think, and then give all these excuses why you shouldn't be doing something, right? Mm-hmm. Or in even the case of why you should be doing something, you can just say, I feel, and stay there. And generally when we stay in the feeling space, we also avoid debates. So, because it's very hard for someone to debate with someone's feelings. Sorry. Well, they can, but they're just asses.
Exactly.
Right? Like, you can, but you can also just repeat yourself, like, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. Agreed. You don't have to change it and give any kind of new excuse. You can just stay in that I don't feel like it space. So, step one is knowing, like, how to trust your feelings, right? If you don't have a confidence with you, I don't feel like it, you're going to go to that thinking space and you're going to say, I don't think so, and give all this. So, step one is honoring and trusting your I don't feel like it or I do feel like it. So, shall we do it? Shall we get into it?
Let's do it.
Okay, so simply close your eyes and just get into your body however you want to, with breath and just tuning into your, you know, resting your eyes, your eyelids, the space behind your neck and back, and softening your shoulders and dropping your tongue and just breathing. And then I want you to think about three things you would definitely say yes to. So, a trip around the world, $1 million, like no work for a whole year, and you just get to play and learn and grow, and you have unlimited resources to learn new things. I'm guessing by you what you guys might want. But you could choose whatever that yes is, whatever that emphatic yes is. And I just want you to sit and rest with that. And where do you feel it in your body? Where do you feel that wholehearted yes? And if you're having difficulty, just keep going back to that space, that one thing you would definitely say yes to. And then ask yourself, does it move up? Does it move down? Does it stay in that place? If it had a material, what material would it be? If it had a color, what color would it be? What temperature? Is it heavy? Is it light? Does it fizzle out? Does it stay strong? Does it contract or expand? And really understanding all the different material shapes that this yes can have in your body. And now let's do the same thing, but with no. Three things you would definitely say no to. An office 9-to-5 job where you have no days off inside of a cubicle, where you have 5 bosses and you repeat the same, like, 5 job things that are really boring every day for 2 years straight. You only get 1 day off a year, and you have to move your friend up 3 flights of stairs with no elevator, and all they give you is beer and pizza at the end. Where do you feel those no in your body? Does it contract? Does it expand? Does it have a color? Does it stay in the same place? Does it move?
And just keep reconnecting to that no, that big no, that hell no in your body. Does it have a material? What weight would you give it? Is it hard to hold this in your body? Is it easy to hold this in your body? Just giving yourself this kind of check. So now you know you're yes and you know you're no. Let's go back to that thing that you said yes to, just because it's a happier place to be before we close out. What's that thing you said yes to? Go back to that feeling. See if it feels the same now. A double check. So that's pretty much it. That's the yes or no meditation. Were you doing it at all? Did you have any?
Oh, for certain. I love that. First, let me just say that it is so simple, but it is so incredibly telling, because you know what it does? Not only are we doing, you know, getting intuitively in touch, and we're getting into the body like we talked about in the first half of the show, but then we are also learning in a very logical and very discernible way how to understand these two reactions within our body. You know, it's kind of appealing to our humanness a little bit that wants proof in the pudding. But yeah, no, I felt it. I felt for me that both emotions originated in the sacral chakra, but whereas my yes went up and kind of felt like it even moved all the way up into my shoulders and my arms, my no stayed and actually moved down, almost like it was going into my root chakra. And it was this feeling of kind of, you know, flight or fight, you know, that sense of belonging, or am I safe, or is this, you know, can I do this? You know, that whole like root chakra type energy, which was very, very interesting.
For me, like, it took me a really long time, because one of my yeses or nos a long time ago, and I believe it was my no, used to have no response in my body. And so I would say I would be a yes person all the time. And I'd like overcommit myself all the time, because I wouldn't really have a good sense of no. You know, I just didn't really have it. But then what I started to realize was I had a really good sense of yes. And if I didn't feel that yes, then I knew it was no. So I would say that, like, as listeners, if you're finding that one of them is stronger than the other, then you can just use that for the time being. Because I think that that's really important too, is that, like, sometimes it's subtle, you know? So, like, just pick the one that's stronger. And also know that choices in your life are not going to be this extreme, right? Like the ones that I mentioned. So there are going to be subtle versions of this in your body when it's like day-to-day choices. Do I pick the honey mustard or the ground mustard? You know, like, it's not going to be quite the same as like traveling the world and breaking up with your boyfriend, you know? So like, it's going to be a little different. So just in recognition that it's really about understanding all the subtleties and doing that practice multiple times so that you can catch the subtlety. Like, oh, I didn't feel that, but I did feel the color yellow, so I know it's a yes. You know, so like, and I know it's weird to say I feel the color yellow, but like, there are people that do tune into their intuition and more colors. There's people that tune into their intuition with more smells. There's people that tune into their intuition with like sweating or yawning or, you know, these kind of things. And so I think that understanding that everybody's yes and everybody's no feels different. Everybody's intuition works differently. There's no one that can teach you your body reactions but you. So it's a practice for that. That's why I really like these types of exercises, because they take away me being the teacher telling you, and it's you being the teacher telling you.
Oh, absolutely. And it's such a, and it is a practice. You know, I think that it's so important to just have that patience and that understanding. So switching gears here now, as we enter into the final 10 minutes or so of the show, because I know that you are cooking up something pretty fantastic. Yeah. And I want to give you an opportunity. I know I am brimming with excitement about it, but I know that this is your baby. So I want to segue into you telling us a little bit more about what you are creating, what you have created, and share it with our listeners. Let's get them all the details.
Yeah. So, I mean, it started with actually a lot of like me having specific problems. I was trying to go into membership-based groups and noticing like extreme competition or this like hierarchical leadership and disorganization because the main person was overcommitting themselves to way too many members and couldn't really be there for everyone. Or I was signing up for DIY programs and finding myself fizzle out in the middle and then judging myself for like not doing the like $1,000 program I just paid for, you know, and things like this that like I just realized I wasn't like able to hold myself accountable. And then me as a coach wanting to give more to more people, knowing that my one-on-one sessions are quite expensive for many people, and I really wanted to make something affordable for a larger community. And fourth, because of course there's like even more, I have my one-on-one clients, and what I realized was they were doing really good for like the 2 months we were together, and then 6 months later they did some sort of self-sabotage and, you know, knocked themselves out, and it would be really good to have them at least be able to check in with me for a whole year. Mm-hmm. So what I did was create this beautiful academy to resolve all of those problems, right? So what it does is, one, to make sure that there's no overcommitting, like me overcommitting to a bunch of people, I have coaches like you and 9 other coaches being part of a year-long program. So that means that they will, anyone who's a member will receive 10 coaches at a rate that's less than $5 a day for the year. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think you're crazy, woman. But I know.
I know. But I figured it out in a way that wasn't overcommitting. None of us are overcommitting. By us really coming together, none of us are doing too much, but we're all doing just the right amount. So I'm giving a couple master classes every month and doing open forum Q&As for business and for self-care. The entire academy is it's centered around building your business and your self-care, knowing that they go hand in hand. Me personally, when I get really excited in my business, sometimes my self-care can go down. And it's actually when I get excited. And I think very often people think like, oh, I'm like losing my self-care because I'm not taking, like, because I'm not excited or I'm in a slump. But like, for me, it's like actually when I'm super, like, just so amped in my business, I just like, you know, like, oh, I can do that later. But then I know that's what makes my business struggle too. So, yes. For me, it's like keeping that accountability that both make each other succeed. So we have self-care coaches and experts, and then we also have business coaches and experts. And as far as like even in business, we have coaches that are there just to teach like, you know, simple things like how to hire on, how to have teams, how to build out, you know. So this is really there for you for a whole year to really build a six-figure business with a team that's a business that's making the world a better place, right? And I feel like right now we're in such a pivotal time, right, where I think a lot of healers, a lot of facilitators, a lot of change makers feel a little overworked, because we can feel the sense of urgency, right? 3 months ago, the scientists were like, all of them got together and were like, we have 30 years to fix this shit, right? So like, we all are feeling that urgency. And I think that that urgency is not going to enable us to focus on ourselves and our self-care as easily. We want to be there for our clients more. We want to do this more. So I think having something that's 365 days to check in, weekly check-in emails, like monthly check-in intuition, like public speaking, taking photos, confidence, mirroring, one-on-one coaching, quarterly coaching. You literally have so many different ways in this particular academy. It's kind of ridiculous to even shout out how many different ways and how many different things are happening, because there are 10 coaches. So it can get quite expansive, but that's what I mean by like, it's less than $5 a day. There's a full lifetime resource center. If you miss any of the classes, you'll be able to watch them later. Plus a full group where you're able to promote yourself as much as you want, because I really don't believe in competition. And I do believe that everyone's success creates everyone's success. So, the more successful each member and each coach is in the group, I think the more successful we are as a people, you know, yeah. And that's really where we're going in this world, is making the world a better place, you know, bringing in the skills and the resources and the expertise that we know, and we all have it. And we all have it at every level. We all have an expertise that we can share with the world. It's just, how do you do that? How can you do that effectively? And how can you do that effectively where you're not draining yourself, right? So this whole year is about that.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. And tell people where they can learn more. I want them to know where they can go, because I can feel in the energy already. They're eking. They're ready to get their hands on this magic.
Yeah, so emotionalbodymapping.com is my website, and there's a whole page called the Academy in there, and you can just jump on in and learn more about it. I also have a teachable platform that you can take, and I can leave the links below. Obviously, I don't know how that works with this at all, but I can leave.
I can include them in the description.
But I can leave you the links that have at least the courseware, where it has a couple open classes so that you can see how some of the classes and the master classes that I've had run. Now, I do open healing sessions as well to the group, but I don't record those because I feel like that's not, I don't know, it's not mine to share with the world. It's actually some of the members, you know, stuff that they're going through. So like, that won't be necessarily in the recordings, but the classes and courses will. So you can take a look at like some of the ideas of classes. And because I do both holistic business coaching and obviously emotional body mapping, I do classes for both of those things. So you can kind of see and taste a little bit of column A and column B. But essentially already in the resource center, I think there's over 30 hours. So even though right now we're at early bird pricing, so it's $1,500 for the whole year, you can even break it down to 6 payments of $297. But already if you pre-order, you'll get immediate instant access to the resource center that already has 30 hours. So you have plenty of stuff to like dive right into until the actual course begins in October. That full year, where you'll start receiving weekly emails from 3 different coaches from 3 different angles, so that you check into all versions of consciousness.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, for sharing this magic. I want to thank our listeners for sticking with us and for being a part of this community. We're going to be back in September with a powerhouse month. We have Carrie Hummingbird, author of The Second Wave. I'm going to have on Bridget Eslamont of Biddy Tarot coming on for an interview, as well as digging into the energy and the tarot scopes for the month ahead. So September is not a month that you are going to want to miss. We got lots of magic. And again, head over to emotionalbodymapping.com, click on Academy, and that will give you a lot of information on how to get in on this special early bird pricing. And the links will also be shared socially as well. So make sure to follow along with us at intuitivealchemy.co. I will talk with you soon. See you next week. Thank you, Brooke. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much.